Thanks for joining us again on the Exploring Mining podcast. Today, my interview is with David Kelly, CEO and geologist of Chicana Copper, trading on the TSX Venture under the symbol PERU. Chicana Copper is a Canadian-based minerals exploration company that is currently advancing their Soledad project located in Peru. The Soledad project is notable for high-grade copper, gold, silver mineralization that is hosted in tourmaline breccia pipes. With their upcoming drill program in April fully funded, this undervalued junior is one to follow. In this conversation, we get into technicals, best intercepts, and why Rick Rule and Gold Fields are both investors in this junior. To find out more, visit ChicanaCopper.com. For disclosure purposes, this podcast may contain forward-looking statements, and investors are reminded to do their own due diligence and read all disclaimers and disclosures. David, great to have you on the show. For investors and our following that is new to Chicana Copper, can you give us a quick history on how you started the company and your background?
Yeah, thanks, Callie. It's a pleasure to be here. My background, I'm a geologist, a long seasoned explorationist. I've spent about 35 years in the industry working on multiple continents for multiple commodities, 22 years with major companies like BHP, Western Mining Corporation, Newmont, and MMG. And during those stints with the major companies, spent a lot of time in South America. And we formed Chicana Copper at the very end of 2016. We were private for the first year. We went public on the TSX Venture Exchange in January of 2018. And we made a very important discovery. We really recognized the potential of a project that had been previously unappreciated and began drilling in 2017, had some spectacular drill results. We were drilling outcropping high-grade copper, gold, silver mineralized tourmaline breccia pipes. And that, in turn, led to an expansion of our land position because we quickly realized that the mineral system that we were dealing with was much larger than the original option that we had on the part of the property that had the tourmaline breccia pipe. So, you know, that's led to an expansion of raising capital and drilling. To date, we've drilled 62,000 meters. We published an initial resource just on a small selection of breccia pipes. It's only on 7 breccia pipes. We think there's potentially 50 breccia pipes in the deposit. And that resource was published in February of 2022. Since then, we've expanded our exploration to the south side. We got a very important permit in June of last year that allows us to test the other half of the project where we've never drilled before. And the exciting thing about that is we think we've identified the central intrusive center that's driving the whole mineral system at Soledad, and that's going to be featured in our next drill program. That's going to start in just 2 weeks. We have a 3,000-meter drill program fully funded that will test that porphyry target. It'll also test a high-sulfidation epithermal target south and at a higher elevation from the porphyry, and also another breccia system that looks very promising. So it's an exciting time to be doing this podcast with you.
For our maybe less geo-inclined listeners out there, can you just go over an old tourmaline breccia pipes, how they're formed, the characteristics, and some of the mineralization?
Yeah, sure. And, you know, it turns out tourmaline breccia pipes are actually quite common in porphyry systems. They're very common throughout the Cordillera of both, the Western Cordillera of both North America and South America. They oftentimes, if they're part of big, large mineralized porphyry settings, they often get mined along with the porphyry. So you don't really, you know, it's not really broken out or, you know, listed as something different than the porphyry mineralization. I can tell you that at Los Bronces Rio Blanco, the largest accumulation of copper on the planet, 252 million tons of contained copper in that system, half of that is hosted in tourmaline breccias. So they can be very, very, very significant. Tourmaline breccia pipes are related to an intrusion at depth. They form by the accumulation of volatiles in the top part of a crystallizing intrusion. And at some point, if you're at a shallow enough level in the crust, the pressure inside that accumulation, that cupola zone of the intrusion, exceeds the confining pressure of the rocks above, and it breaks it erupts above the intrusion and creates a column of broken rock. It's a breccia is simply a term for a rock that's made up of fragments of other rocks. Importantly, these are not volcanic breccias. They didn't erupt at surface. There was still probably 1 or 2 kilometers of rock above that. So when you have a terminal breccia pipe, the first thing you have to think about is where did this come from? And we know that they're related to intrusions at depth. If they're mineralized, then you have to start thinking, well, is there a mineralized intrusion at depth? And we certainly believe that to be the case. And all of our, focus on expanding our land position, the extensive amount of exploration we've done over the last, 5 years, including multiple geophysical surveys and that type of thing, has been directed towards understanding the complete mineral system. And we believe that we've got everything intact. This is a very young mineral system. Geologically, it's only 15 million years old. It's the exact same age as the Pierina world-class high sulfidation epithermal deposit, just 35 kilometers to the north, and the very same rocks that we're in that was mined out by Barrick. So, yeah, that's the terminal breccia pipes are giving you a vector as to where to go to find the intrusion. We believe we've located that, and we're about to test it.
I wanted to talk a little bit about some of your past results and history there. I believe a couple of years ago you had about 12 meters of 27% copper with some silver and gold in there as well.
Yeah, Callie, and that is just spectacular. You know, that is the highlight of my career. That's certainly the the best drill intercept. I probably will never, exceed that. That it actually ranked globally in the top drill intercepts since 2015 in copper, gold, silver deposits, and I was real proud of that achievement. It's a spectacular intercept. It's a massive sulfide intercept of 12 meters that's 90% chalcopyrite. Okay, that's the copper iron sulfide mineral that hosts the copper. And that breaks down to 27% copper, as you mentioned, 960 grams of silver, almost a kilogram of silver in that same intercept, and a little bit of gold. This is in the part of a breccia pipe where we're not seeing as strong a gold as we'd see in other cases. But that's a massive sulfide intercept inside of a breccia pipe. We've had 13 massive sulfide intercepts in our breccia drilling to date. This is by far the most spectacular. But we have shorter intervals that, have, very, very high grades like this. So we're very optimistic about being able to find additional high-grade zones within these breccia pipes. But it just points to the kind of spectacular mineral system that we're dealing with.
And you have Goldfield invested with Chicana as well. Do you want to talk about the gold anomaly that is in the middle that basically I'm assuming is why they are very interested in you?
Yeah, that's right. They approached us in 2018. I've known the Goldfields team for a long time. They've always had a presence in, or up until recently, always had a presence in Denver. So I always knew the geologist and the business development team for quite a while. But when we started drilling out, drilling some of these breccias and putting out these spectacular grades, that obviously caught their eye. Goldfields is the seventh largest gold producer in the world, but they're not shy of copper. They're a profit-driven mining company. They go after quality projects, and they're somewhat agnostic about the specific breakdown of commodities. And they also are not afraid or shy of high-grade underground type of operation. That's where they built the company. They originated in South Africa, mining high-grade underground gold deposits. And so they like what we're doing with the breccias. And if our breccias get to a certain threshold, that would certainly be of interest to them. But what really caught their eye is when we showed them the soil geochemistry map for the entire property, which is about just over 4,200 hectares, after we expanded the land position. There's a very, very large gold anomaly in soil in the center, right in the center of the land position, and it's what we believe is the center of the mineral system. It's about a 2.5 square kilometer gold anomaly. It's defined by a 30 part per billion threshold. It gets up to 325 parts per billion, which is 0.325 grams per ton. Very, very high, strong value in soil. Within that, there's very, very strong molybdenum, also a very good pathfinder for porphyry copper mineralization, and the molybdenum response gets up to 54 ppm. Again, super strong value in soil. That's even anomalous in a rock sample. And then that kind of led to our thinking about, you know, the next step. And Gold Fields, in addition to contributing capital, they put in $8 million back in 2019 and has since put in an additional $4 million, simply an equity placement. They're, right now they're about an 18.4% equity holder of the company. And they, you know, they wanted to contribute, any resources we needed to advance the project. So we've worked very closely with their technical team. Their chief geophysicist, a gentleman named Andrew Foley, has done all of the geophysics for us in terms of planning the surveys and interpreting the results and doing the modeling and that type of thing. So even though we're a small junior company, we have access to some exceptional talent on their team. And that really led to the next revelation in this understanding of the mineral system. Was right in the middle of this giant geochemical anomaly is a very strong chargeability response. It's about 40 millivolts in chargeability, which is indicating the presence of sulfides. And it has two different geometries. There's one part that looks like the top part of an intrusion. It's got vertical walls. It's shaped like an intrusion. It has a diameter of about 600 meters, which is a very typical size for a high-level stock to have that kind of geometry. And then it has this flat line, kind of a blanket-like feature that extends away from it. And we do have high sulfidation epithermal style mineralization. That's one of the targets we're going to be testing. It's further to the south. But even within the Megagold target, we have this blanket-like feature. You know, it's at depth, and it's extending away from this intrusive-like feature. And so both of those features will be tested in this next round. We believe that to be the a high end or top end of a porphyry system and extending potentially away into more of a lithocap environment.
So as you mentioned in the beginning, you're fully funded for your 3,000-meter drill program. Can we talk about your three target areas? What's your planning for April?
Yeah, that's right. We closed the financing in January. We started it at the end of last year. We made the decision to go ahead and raise money at the end of 2023. The capital markets are very difficult right now, and we knew that there would be a lot of competition at the beginning of the year, and there certainly is. So we were happy to close our financing. We actually upsized it. Rick Rule came into the financing. You know, Gold Fields was in both tranches. Rick Rule came in the second tranche and brought a lot of additional investment. We upsized it, closed it in January. Happy to, you know, say that the Commodity Discovery Fund also came in that, as well as a lot of existing shareholders. So we did raise enough money to fully fund this next drill program, and that program will be focused in this new permit area, part of the property we've never drilled before. We have a breccia target that we'll drill. We'll drill that first because it's at the bottom of the mountain, and logistics are very simple, and access is really easy. That's called the Estremadoiro breccia pipe, and what interests me so much in this breccia pipe is the footprint. The geophysical footprint is one of the largest we've seen. It's outcropping. It has multigram gold right at surface. It has visible copper oxide. It has artisanal workings on it. So it's certainly a target of interest. And we want to remind our shareholders and the market that the breccia story is going to continue, right? It's small. It's high grade, has enormous upside potential because we still have 54 targets that we haven't, breccia targets that we haven't tested yet. And this will be the first one of the 54 remaining targets that we'll get started on. So the breccia, you know, the breccia part of the discovery is going to expand. It'll continue. It's going to, you know, with a few more tons, that could have a life of its own as kind of a separate project. But the real excitement is going to come when we move the rig up onto the mountain above this breccia pipe. The breccia pipe is right on the edge of the Megagold target area, and we'll start drilling six holes 2,400 meters. We've nominally indicated these holes will go to 400 meters depth. We have the flexibility to continue drilling deeper if we need to, but it's important to point out this is not a deep target. Even though on the north side of the project where we've drilled extensively in the breccias, and those breccias are vertically extensive, and we've not seen the breccia, the bottom of a breccia pipe yet, even though we have drilling, you know, 500, 600, 700, 800 meters deep in some of the breccias, we've not seen the intrusion sitting beneath those yet. When we move down the valley to the lowest elevation, right adjacent to a major regional structure that goes all the way through the district we're in, it extends to the north of Antamina, and it continues to the southwest, all the way to the coast. It's a big arc normal structure that causes, you know, a structural corridor that allows these important mineralizing intrusions to come into the crust. That structure allowed intrusions at our project to ascend to a higher level. And this target that we're going to be testing, the top of sulfides is only estimated at 125 meters below surface. And that's the strong 40 millivolt chargeability response that we see in the IP survey. So even though it's a porphyry target, we don't expect it to be deep. We might be in the high level part of a porphyry intrusion, maybe in a lithocap environment. That's fine as well. There's certainly lots. This is a world renowned gold, silver, and copper belt, the Miocene mineral belt of Peru that extends into Chile and up into Ecuador. So we're in elephant country, and we're quite happy to find precious metals as well as copper, but predominantly we think we're sitting on a big copper system.
Well, to have Rick Rule and Goldfield in your deal, that's a big congratulations to have such great names involved in your company. Let's just talk a little bit about your share structure, and you obviously talked about some of the great investors in your deal.
Yeah, you know, we've always attracted, you know, very high-quality institutional investors. Sprott Asset Management is a shareholder. Osisko Development is an equity holder in the company, and Osisko's always shown a strong interest in what we're doing, and, you know, potentially on the royalty side at some point in the future as we advance the project. So U.S. Global, Bally Capital Partners, we have a lot of European investors that have taken notice over the years and come in. We have a strong contingent of Australian investors in the stock as well. So, you know, it's been gratifying to me to see us be able to attract the quality of investors. And, you know, to have Goldfields along, you know, since, you know, 2019 and participating in every financing, this is actually the third time that Rick has invested in the company. So he knows us well. He loves our management team. He loves the asset. And he particularly likes the fact that, you know, we're testing a tier one target here. We're swinging for the fence. We're being very aggressive on the exploration. We've done extensive work, technical work at a very, very high quality, especially for a junior company, because oftentimes juniors are strapped for capital and they don't have access to the talent pool that, you know, the big companies have. But we benefited from our relationship with Goldfields. And so it was really gratifying to see Rick come in again. And obviously that helped us get over the hump with the financing. It was a very difficult time. But we got through it. We got the money raised, and we're ready to start drilling. And, you know, the plan is to start drilling on April 1st.
Can you talk to investors? We'll just zoom out a little bit on the landscape of Peru and some of your experience in the jurisdiction.
I've been in and out of Peru for over 20 years, you know, for different companies, different commodities, different focus. Done a lot of work on the zinc. You know, Peru is one of these countries that is exceptionally well endowed. The geology is second to none globally in terms of the mineral density. If you just look at how closely spaced the mineral deposits are and the prospects and the mineral cluster, if you will, for all commodities, you know, copper, lead, zinc, silver, they're important, you know, they have important opportunities and things like lithium as well. So it's an exceptionally well endowed country. So geologically, it checks all the boxes. It's you know, world-class mines have been developed there for copper and for gold, certainly lead, zinc, silver deposits. It ticks a lot of boxes geologically. It has a very strong mining law, and that's encouraged foreign investment to come in, and they have a very strong environmental code. I would say their environmental regulations are as strong as they are in the United States, and I think that's a good thing. You know, the biggest knock against Peru has been the bureaucracy and the way they run the country and how long it takes to get a permit, and we certainly suffered from that. It took us 2.5 years, just over 2.5 years, to get the permit that we're going to soon be drilling on. And, you know, that's frustrating for a junior company because you're burning cash as you're doing that. Luckily for us, we have lots of things to do with getting an existing resource out. We've just completed an internal scoping study for our own internal knowledge on the high-grade breccias that we have already in resource and what it would take to get that to a significant level economically. And, you know, we're just doing that for our own education. You know, a lot of companies don't have that the luxury of being able to, you know, wait that long for a permit. It's one of the problems. But I think a lot of those problems are being addressed. That message has gotten to the Ministry of Energy and Mines loud and clear. Peru has had a rocky political past. It's gone, you know, far left. It's gone back and forth multiple times. There's been lots of turnover in the presidency and the administrations. But I think the best way to look at the jurisdiction is from a mining production standpoint. And if you just look at copper, Peru is the second largest copper producer in the world. They've increased their copper output every single year, even during the Pedro Castillo administration, which people felt was, you know, going to be really bad for mining. It didn't have any effect on the copper production in the country. The only thing that really affected the copper production was COVID. You know, it was devastating on the country. They weren't prepared for it. Like many Latin American countries, they suffered severely through COVID. So that's been, I think, the biggest impact. Politically, yes, it catches a lot of headlines. It's ugly. It's not pretty. But does it actually affect what's going on the ground? We haven't really seen that to any significant degree. So I'm very bullish on Peru. It's a mining country, first and foremost. It's the second largest copper producer, first largest gold producer in Latin America. So it's a good place to be.
I think, you know, definitely undervalued for your stock right now. I would say a comparable story, or hopefully comparable, would be, you know, that you could be the next Hercules Silver, but for copper.
Well, that's exactly right. There's a lot of similarities between us and Hercules Silver. Hercules was exploring high-grade silver veins that they felt were related to an underlying porphyry. We have the high-grade breccia pipes, which we believe are related to an underground, you know, underlying porphyry. We both had big 3D chargeability responses beneath our high-grade mineralization at surface, and they tested theirs one single drill hole. I think it was something like 289 meters of 0.97% copper. Very, very good, exciting intercept, and that immediately, you know, vaulted them to, you know, over $200 million market cap. Barrick came in. So we think we can see that kind of success. I mean, it even though we are in a very difficult market right now, there are people paying attention, and discoveries are being rewarded. So we think we're in the perfect place right now. You know, I like the way Rick framed his investment decision, in that, you know, he looks at the fact that we already have an existing resource. There's value in that. That resource is going to grow. It's going to have a life of its own. But at the same time, we have these tier one targets that have brought in, you know, the world's seventh largest gold producer to contribute over $12 million into our exploration programs. And now we're on the precipice of testing those targets. You know, it's just weeks away. So, you know, I think I tell people there's never been a better time to be a shareholder than right now. You know, this is the time. We've already spent, you know, a lot of money and a lot of drilling, 62,000 meters, getting that resource, de-risking the property, expanding the land position. But now we're going after the tier one targets and were a 10-cent stock, right? So Rick didn't invest in Chicana to double his money or triple his money. He invested to get a massive gain on it. These are the types of opportunities where if you're successful, you can realize those kind of gains. And we're just excited that we have the opportunity with the closing of the last financing to give our shareholders the exposure to that kind of opportunity.
Well, I think if it's good enough for Rick Rule, then it should be good enough for the rest of us. David, this has been so informative. Where can investors reach out to you? Where can they find you? Obviously, I would assume that they're all going to keep their eyes on you for April, but what's the best places they can reach out or any conferences that you're going to be attending that they can come and say hi?
Yeah, well, we just finished PDAC, and we met with a lot of potential new investors there and existing shareholders. We will be participating in Rick Rule's Mining Symposium in Boca Raton in July. Our website is ChicanaCopper.com. You can certainly sign up for updates there. You can reach out to me directly at dkelly@ChicanaCopper.com. I love to hear from shareholders and interested investors. You know, this is a very geological, technical story, and I'm a geologist, so I actually love getting into the story and the detail about the project and its upside potential. So, yeah, please reach out, follow the story. A lot's going to be happening. This is all going to play out in the next 6 months, right? So this is not going to be something where you put your money in and then you wait 2 years for a permit or anything like that. We're ready to go. Drill's going to start turning soon, and we're going to get to the bottom of what's causing this absolutely what I consider to be one of the best porphyry targets I've ever seen in my career. It's going to be tested soon.
Fantastic to have you on the show, David, and I look forward to a follow-up.
Thank you, Kelly. We'd love to do that.
Well, that does it for today's Exploring Mining podcast. If you'd like to be a guest or sponsor for this podcast, please contact investorideas.com. Investorideas.com reminds all listeners to read our disclaimers and disclosures on the investorideas.com website. All investment involves risk, and this podcast is not meant to be an endorsement to buy or sell securities or products. To hear more podcasts, you can go to investorideas.com/audio. And a reminder, you can also hear our podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play Music, iHeart.com, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spreaker, and SoundCloud.